Nada, no, no voice projection, can't get it. Audio.
And the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come with thanksgiving this morning. Lord, with praise to your lovely name. For truly, Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You're that which was, Lord, and you're that which is to come. You're your beginning and the ending, Lord. And you're the author and the finisher of all revelation that would ever come in the earth from the beginning to the very ending, Lord. And we thank you and praise you. And Lord, we have one desire this morning, Lord, is that we can surrender all, that we can die to our own thinking, die to everything of this world, Lord, that we could live, Lord, that we could manifest that promise, that attribute that you had in your mind before the foundation of the world. Lord, we know that nothing will hinder that. Lord, that everything that was in your thought, Lord, there's nothing. There's no devils. There's no anything that can slow it down, can stop it, can hinder it, Lord, but it will come to pass. And we thank you and praise you for that. May you bless each one now this morning. Those here, those that are listening in, Lord, as we commit all to you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. It is good to see each one this morning. And we're really happy to have Cameron and Sister Rebecca with us this morning. We've been missing them. And we know that everyone is holding Sister Betty in prayer and the family. And so we want to do that. I know Brother Goomba is working this morning, so we... some of you haven't got to see him yet since he's returned, but I assume he'll probably be here on Wednesday night, and then he said he was planning on being here on Sunday, so we hope that as he feels, we'll be hearing about the trip, and we'll be looking forward to that. So we're happy to have Amber and Annalise with us this morning, and been having a good visit with them, and so we thank God. And we're looking for autumn to be coming, and this week we're expecting around the 21st. So we haven't heard anything definite, but we're looking forward to that. And so now we read the scripture there, and one of the things that the scripture points out here is he's talking about being kings and priests. And so Wednesday night we were reading there in the scripture where he's talking about that the scripture said, ye are gods. The scripture said. And Jesus said, when Jesus brought it up, he was referring back to David in the Psalms, David saying, ye are gods. And so when Jesus referred to it, he pointed out at the same time that the scripture cannot be broken. In other words, this is just not some words that somebody wrote. This is just not a mishap. It's not, something that sounds really good. He's saying this is the word of God, and this cannot be broken. This is the promise, and this is the attribute of God that has to be manifested. And so we want to read some more on that. So this morning, I took the subject title for the title, subtitle was Amateur Creators, because only God is the creator. And so we just want to look, because it's going right with what we're talking about, see what the prophet says on that line. And so I want to start in the message, God in His People. And all of these are, I think most all these quotes are older quotes, but yet I don't see anything here that He's changed or done different. So it goes, it's right in line. So paragraph 23, God doesn't fall upon denominations. God doesn't fall upon mechanical devices. God, the Holy Spirit, fell upon men. Man is God's agent. And the hardest thing that God has ever had to do was to get one mortal to believe another. Do you believe that? Now, if you think back to the commission that was given to Brother Branham, the commission, the challenge that he was given was, if you can get the people to believe, if you can get them to believe, there will be nothing. Nothing will stand before you. There's nothing. There's no disease. There's no sickness. There's no ailment. There's no blindness. Not even death itself. There's nothing that will stand before you if you can get them to believe. And so here he's telling us that's the hardest challenge that there is in the world, is to get man to believe man. They couldn't believe Moses, and God gave them two signs to prove to the people that he was sent from God for their deliverance. You believe that? Well, isn't he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you believe the angel that talked to him in the burning bush is the angel of the covenant? Was that right? All right. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's here now. I always love it when the prophet says this, because I take him literally. I take him meaning exactly what he's saying. He is here now. He does the same things today that he did then. That's right. What he did in Moses' day, he does today. What he did in Abraham's day, he does it today. When he revealed the secrets of Sarah's heart, he does the same thing today. And that's the evidence, that's the proof of the presence of God, is when the secrets of hearts are being revealed. Because there's nobody can do that. Satan can't do it. Satan does not have that ability. But the creator of heavens and earth, the one who created man, he is the one that knows exactly what man is thinking at all times. There's not any at any time that God don't know what I'm thinking. There's not any time that God don't know what you're thinking. God knows, because God created everything that is here, and he created it for his purpose and for his desire and for his pleasure. Every bit of it was made just strictly for his pleasure, what he wanted. And so whatever is being done, God is having his way. And he still performs wonders and signs. He's a miraculous God. And he always works in a miraculous way with signs and wonders. And he promised them in the last days. If he promised them in the last days, he's talking about us. He promised us in the last days. And we're living in the last days. We got a right to expect them now. See? He promised these gifts. He promised the power of God. He promised the signs and the wonders. He promised them in the last days. And now it's to us. We got a right to expect them now. That's right. To bring his people together. And now we read those quotes, that what it is that gathers the bride, what it is that pulls her together, and it is the presence of God that does it. And the presence of God is the Word of God, and the Word of God being manifested, being revealed, being made known. Paragraph 155. We're in Jehovah Jireh 1. Now, Heavenly Father, they're in your hands. And they're claiming that they are the seed of Abraham, and they want the blessings of God. And now I have told them in this simple little way. I started on my text and didn't get to finish it. But Father, they see here in the confirmation to Abraham that you confirm the promise to him. And you give him the confirmation. This is something else that we talked about. Because this is what God has done in every day, in every age, in every generation, in every prophet that was back there. It was God coming on the scene to vindicate, to prove. And that's what he's calling confirmation here. It was a vindication of what was spoken to happen in that day, what God had in his mind that he was going to do. And so, and as those prophets were speaking of their day, and God was confirming the word for the day, they were at the same time speaking of another day. They were speaking of another time. And so that prophecy was going forth, and God was going to come along, and he was going to vindicate that. And he was going to confirm that, and he was going to prove that. And that's all that's been happening over and over and over again, is God confirming and vindicating the promise, the thoughts that he had, the attributes that he had manifested for that day, that he promised for that day to be manifested. If the Spirit of Christ isn't in us, then we are nothing of Christ. And Christ's nature cannot be changed. And I want us to hold that thought, because, and Brother Michael and I was talking about this yesterday, what God was before he ever spoke a word. Before he ever spoke, when it was just the great eternal Spirit. And it was just, there was no creation of any kind before he spoke. And it was just God's thoughts, just God's attribute. God didn't change when he began to speak. God didn't change when he began to manifest. When God began to express himself and his thoughts, he didn't change. He's expressing his nature that he always was, always will be. There's no change. When the scripture talks about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and man's mental conception is, well, we have Paul's message, and there can never be anything else but what Paul spoke. That is has not even in the equation of what God was saying. It was God's nature that God was expressing in Paul's day. It was God revealing a promise, the thought that he had in mind for that day. And that was going to have its time period. It was going to be for everlasting. It was going to be a time frame. And when that time frame ended, then God's nature, that same nature, was going to express a greater portion of himself, a greater portion of his nature, of what he is. And so before he ever made a man that was going to need salvation, he was already a Savior. You say, no, he hadn't, wasn't manifested yet. No, his nature was a Savior. His nature was a judge. His nature was a king and a father and a husband and a son, and everything that he was ever going to express, it was already in him. He wasn't thinking about this thing that, okay, now you know what might be good if I would be, I'll be this too, and I'll be that. No, God cannot add to his stature. God can't have a new thought. God can't come up and change his mind. God come up and say, well, you know, I'm enjoying being the king. I think I want to be a judge. No. He already was all of it. He was every bit of it already. And he made a man that could fall. But that life that was in that man, that God put there, that God would put in Christ, that God put in every believer, is the same life that he is. It's not a different life. If it's a different life, then they will never have eternal life. The only way they have eternal life is if that source of life comes down and manifests itself in that person. And if you think that that wasn't in Adam, then I don't know. I can't speak to that. I can't. I can't even conceive. I can't even conceive how that God is going to make a man, the spoken seed word, the man who is the God of the earth, who is in complete total control of everything on the earth. Complete control. And he speaks, and whatever he speaks, it's done. And God tells that man that you can eat of every tree in the garden. Except there's one tree you cannot eat of. He didn't say there was two trees. He said there was one tree. One tree in the garden that you cannot eat of. And when he ate of that tree, there was a fall. There was a fall that allowed God now to come express that Savior that he was. And you say, no, you can't do that. My Bible says that he was slain before the foundation of the world. So if he was slain before the foundation of the world, then he already in his eternal thoughts was a Savior. And so, yes, it was going to come time that all of that was going to come into a flesh body and it was going to happen. But all of that was already the eternal thoughts of God that God was going to express someday. But it was already in him. It was already in him. Adam didn't get deceived. Adam fulfilled God's plan. Adam walked right out there with that nature of Savior in him and took his wife and saved her. He couldn't do anything else. He had the same nature. He had the same nature that his God had. Watch this. Paragraph 21. He's a great contractor. And before he ever had a human being on the earth, he laid out the material like a contractor building a subdivision. He was going to make a man in his own image and give him the earth to stay. And they were lesser gods than he was. Jesus said, your law says that you are gods. What is that? What is that? He's going to tell us what that is. That's dominion. Kings dominion over the earth. He could do anything he wanted. And sin come in, and now woman brings child. And when it does, that child must die. Why? Because it came by sex. Came the wrong way. Everything that came by sex is going to die. When it does, that child must die. See, just it's exactly. It's a perverted birth. But then when the new birth comes in, it corrects that perverted birth and gives it eternal life through the Father, Jesus Christ. Amen. That seed, that new birth, is that spiritual seed, that germ of life, that thing that came from him is now being manifested in that veil of flesh. And that veil of flesh is never going to be anything. It always was death, always was going to die, and so it's going to die. You're not taking it in. Amen. And of all the, I know there's quotes going both directions and going all over the place, but there's a scripture that has always locked in for me. And Jesus said, flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Right. So this flesh and blood is not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. To me, that's one of those scriptures that just nails it down. And then everything else, if it says it this way and that way and this way and that way, then you know there's some revelation laying there and you need to ask God to give you the revelation.
That's right.
But you're not taking this.
That's right.
Maybe the 16 elements, but you're not taking this.
That's right.
It was born in sex.
Yep.
Can't go. Oh, brother, Jesus said, he that heareth my word, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Amen. All the Father has given me will come to me and nothing is lost. Amen. He will raise it up again at the last days. Death or nothing can separate us. We're always, I love this now, we're always in the presence of God. How I love that. Amen. That's the bride. And that's what David was talking about. The man that said, blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin, who will not impute iniquity, who will not impute anything. Yeah. Now, that was the man who said, if I go into hell, he's there. Why? He was a seed. You're always in the presence of God. Amen. Always in the presence of God. Amen. You can make mistakes. It doesn't mean you can't make mistakes. But God is with you. God has angels camped about you to protect you and to keep you and to guide you because you are a son and a daughter of God. And that's just how it is. And all of the rest of them, all the rest of it out there is just filler. And there's no criticism or anything to anybody else. It's filler. It's God's creation. He made it for a purpose, and he does whatever he wants to with it. You don't have any say-so. I don't have any say-so. And nor do I have any say-so of what the elect is. You try to take an elected one and put them out there in the world. They can't. They can't. You take one of these genuine sisters, put her out there and take her clothes off and put her in something showing her body off. She can't do it.
That's right.
She can't. It's the difference.
That's right.
And Brother Branham said, if she can, it shows she never got the new birth.
Amen.
It shows she never was in his mind before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir, that's right.
That's what he said. My subject tonight is maybe a little strange. See, I want to speak on the subject of divine love and sovereign grace. And when divine love has been projected and come to its end, its destination is sovereign grace will then take over. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? That divine love is going to bring sovereign grace. Now, he reads a scripture here, and he's going to explain some of these things. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, we're faced in this day when it's prophesied to us that brotherly love would become a strange thing among the people. And so this, if this is the prophecy for the last days, and we can read in Timothy, 1 Timothy, and the things that the spirits that would come forth in the last days. So if we can read that, how that the people are going away from the things that are right. And we can see how the spirit of Satan is taking over the people. And I'm trying to stay off of some of those things because it's just gotten so filthy now. But if you've looked at the news at all, you have seen the White House Christmas. If you have seen the White House Christmas, it is trans, gays, lesbians dancing through the White House. That's apparently that's one of the jobs of the First Lady, is to do the White House Christmas. And so now what it's being dubbed as Sodom and Gomorrah in the White House. That's what it's being dubbed now. And this is the nation now. This is the news. This is all of it. And so they're going back to Trump, to Melinda Trump, and what she did in the White House for Christmas. And then they're showing now these gays and these transgender people dancing through the White House and carrying on. And then they're just bringing it out where, I'm not seeing enough of it to really know the full story, but they're talking about sex in Congress. They're talking about homosexuals having relationship on the floor of the Congress. And And I'm just reading the headlines on some of that stuff, and I'm like, this can't even be real. This has got to be fake news. And it's there. You're seeing it over and over. It's there. And so it's gone so bad. Amen. That this is it. This is what he's talking about. Back in the 50s and 60s, he was talking about the people losing all godliness. Amen. All humility, all holiness, all of it would just be filth. And that's where it's gone to now. And it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. See? But he said here, it's prophesied in this day that brotherly love would become a strange thing among the people. And so to the believer, we need to grab a hold of this. We need to grab a hold of it, and we need to hold on to it. And we need to not let those spirits get on us. If there was ever a time that we need to hold to the word of God, the promise of God, and I know it will for the bride, because it's the nature of God. And the nature of God is what's living in the bride. And so, but those spirits are all around you. And those spirits want to make you revenge people or dislike somebody. And the only thing we can do is realize that they have no control over that satanic spirit that is on them. When they're going to the world, when they're going with those attitudes, when they don't like you, when whatever it is, that's Satan. Yes. That's Satan that is driving them, and we have to recognize it, and we do recognize it. Amen. And so we have to hold to what he has told us. We have to hold to the revelation of it, why and how it's really happening. And it's to my humble belief that is the greatest of all the gifts that there is in God's Bible. If the Lord Jesus should stand on the platform tonight and look me in the face. Now, you remember Brother Ram talked about, if he sent me to hell, I would love him anyways. Amen. Listen to this. If God told him, I'm going to give you a choice. You can be a great person, a great minister. I'll give you a gift of preaching the gospel. Or I'll give you a gift of teaching the word. I'll give you a gift of divine healing. I'll give you the gift of prophecy. Or I'll make you a prophet. Or any of the fine gifts of faith. Any of the gifts that's in the Bible. I'll give them, every one of them, to you. But then I will withhold love from you. I'll either give you love or withhold the gift from you. And withhold the gift from you. So you get what he's saying. I'm going to give you love, or I'm going to give you the gifts. You can have every gift that there is. You can be the greatest preacher, have the greatest gift, the greatest everything, but have it without love. And you remember what Brother Branham said. He said, character. He said, power without character is satanic. Power without, that having that power without the character of Christ is satanic. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening across the world. That's what's happening in the government. That's what's happening in Biden's cabinet. That's where it's at. And I hate to bring this guy up again, but I just ran across him again yesterday, last night. I just was looking at the news some before I slept. And this guy, they put in charge of the nuclear energy waste, I think he was. He was there, his name was Sam something, starts with a B. He was there about 6 months. And I'm thinking, now, here was a guy, and he's a trans and all of that. So here was a guy now who's been appointed to one of the highest ranking, getting this awesome appointment, awesome job, awesome everything. And he's still in suitcases. He's still in. And apparently he knows money when he sees it. I don't think I've ever seen a $3,000 suitcase. I don't know if I would know what a $3,000 suitcase is. But he sees them and he knows what they are. And so he was stealing them out of the airport. And because he knew these people, and maybe he was looking at them on the plane and stuff. I don't know. But anyways, not only was stealing the suitcases, so he was wearing the clothes. And it just so happens that one of the suitcases that was stolen had designer, one-of-a-kind designer clothes, and some of it was designed by a woman from Tanzania. And this woman was in the airport somewhere, and she seen him wearing the one-of-a-kind dress that she had made. And I'm thinking, how could it be? How could you be so lucky? How can, you know, how could it be? But anyways, so this guy, so they take first, they get him on the first one. This is a federal offense. You could go to prison for years. He gets a $3,000 fine and an 18-month suspended sentence. Anybody else would spend 10 years. Look at the prison sentences these people are getting for being at the Capitol on January 6th. Look at what they're getting. They're getting 10 years. They're getting unreal sentences. This whole thing is turned around now. If you're a trans or a gay, you don't even have to go to jail for your crimes. You walk. But then turn around and he got caught again. So now it's in limbo now because the judges are going to have a hard time letting him walk again without some kickback because it's become so hypocritical. But this is it. It's the spirit of Satan that's going to make an example out of you and is going to let the devil walk free. That's what it's doing. It's just gone absolutely crazy. And I just can't imagine somebody getting an appointment like that and then ruining it to steal suitcases, to steal clothes. That's insanity. That's insanity. Okay, so I would say if God offered me, this is the prophet talking now, if God offered me all the gifts or he offered me love, I'd say, Lord, take all the gifts and let me have the love. See, for no matter how many gifts we got, they will never do us any good except the love of God is the motive behind the gift. Amen. See, we must have love. We must. And that is the nature of God. We must have the nature of God, the Spirit of God living in us. Paragraph 13. And as I see this great day appearing and that we're now living in, where the selfishness and indifference among the people, human beings, tribes of the earth, it grieves my heart that I would think of it in a different way. If he hadn't already said that this day would be here. See, you couldn't imagine. You wouldn't imagine. If you didn't know the word of God, you didn't know it was prophecy fulfilled, you wouldn't be able to imagine that these things are happening like they are. See, the things that takes place and love, see, would be a strange thing in these days. How did you realize that you being a person as you are, that you're not altogether flesh, you're spirit and flesh? Not only that, but Jesus said that the Bible said that we are in a miniature way God's. How can that be? Because God's in you. Because eternal life's in you. What was in Adam? Eternal life. God was in Adam. And Adam was that miniature God, that part of God acting out, manifesting what God was. He was doing it in flesh through his son. He was created in the image of God. He was acting, doing exactly what God would do. He did exactly what Jesus Christ did. He went out and he took his wife. See, Jesus said, he said that if that was prophets and so forth of the Old Testament, Jesus was referring to, it's written in your law that ye are gods. And if he called them gods, who the word of God come to, then why not himself, being the Son of God? When he makes himself equal with God, now we are, in an amateur way, we are creators. Amen. Now this is his words. Right. It's not our words. Right. This is not our interpretation. We're not taking a statement and we're saying now, this means we're creators. No, this is his words. That's right. This is him saying it. That's the difference today. There's too many people that are taking a statement of the prophet or taking a scripture of the Bible, and they're interpreting and telling you what that means. He's telling us what it means. If we let Him tell us what it means, we're not going to get messed up. And if we interpret it, if we put our idea to it, we're going to get messed up. Now, we are, in an amateur way, we are creators. See? Now, I want to just talk to you from my heart now, before the service, because when I preach, it upsets me. And He's going to show you the difference in the anointing of preaching. And so He's saying, when I preach, it upsets me. And when you start talking about these things that's going on in the White House and going on in the Congress and going on everywhere else, it upsets you. And if it doesn't upset a minister now, there's something wrong with us. Because it's just filth. It's perversion. It's just gone. There's only one thing, and that's the anchor. And the anchor is saying, this is the vindication of the last days. This is the confirmation of what I told you has to be. That's the only thing. It's way down there. It's way down there is the only thing that allows us to look at it and know who's in control. See, there's two different anointings, and one of them is for visions, and the other one's for the Word. And then you go on to the Word real hard and go to preaching, see, and the service, and you can't hold the vision so well. It's two different gifts. And if you're building your congregation on one, and then you turn it to the other one, you know what I mean, see? But being that we're a small in crowd yet, we want to place it as much around the Word as possible. And then we'll have a little healing service because there's so many sick people. So when He says these things, He's given us nuggets. He's given us things to understand the ministry, to give us understand the anointing, understanding the way that the things are happening and why He says things sometimes. Now, did you ever see someone that you just love to be around? Now, once again, I know I say this a lot, but when it sounds like He's changing the subject, be sure what He's saying goes right with what He just said. Okay? What He's saying goes right with what He just said. It'll tie in. Did you ever see someone that you just love to be around? Sure you have. There's people that you meet and associate with that you just love to be around. There's an air about them, huh? That you just love to associate with them. And then there's fine people that you know of, that's very fine people, and yet there's just something about them that you just don't feel at home around them somehow. Huh? And it makes me want to point out here that Brother Branham said, birds of a feather flock together. That's right. And you get these people that have that spirit on them that you're just not comfortable with. They always got something. There's some arrogance there. There's some arrogance laying underneath. There's always something there that you, no matter how much they say they're a believer, no matter how much they go to church, and usually they're not too faithful to their worship, their walk with God, but anyways, even if they are, there's something underlying that you know it's not genuine. They can't hide it. No matter if they try, they can try to hide it, but they can't hide it. They can hide it from one another, but they can't hide it from the elect.
That's right.
And that's the problem. And then the people might think, oh, well, you're arrogant because you think. No, we're not arrogant. We're saying what He said we have.
That's right.
And we have the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ recognizes every spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit of Christ recognizes every spirit. And so the spirit of hypocrisy, we recognize it. The spirit of a liar, we recognize it.
Right.
The spirit of impersonation, we recognize it.
Yes.
You can't help it because it's not you. It's the Spirit in you that's doing it. It's God that's doing it. And sometimes you don't know everything. I'm not saying that for sure. You don't know. But there's something there. You call it a feeling. You say we don't go by feelings. No. But there's something there. I can't explain it. I can't say. Sometimes we just call it a feeling. But it may not be a fleshly feeling. It might be a spiritual feeling. Somehow, God lets his elect know what they need to know when they need to know it. And I'm not by no means saying that we know everything, that we walk around with this gift of discernment like the prophet. Not at all. But the same discernment that was in that prophet is living in you. And that one gift to the age, that only came when God would send that one gift. That was so great, there was never another gift like it. It's like that jar of ocean water that came out of the ocean. Some of that same gift is in you. Some of that same spirit is in you. Some of that same word is in you. It's in you. You can't take it away. See? So there's some people you don't feel at home around them. See? You don't want to hurt their feelings. You're just friends. Yeah? What are we? We're just friends. We're nice. We're cordial. We agree. We greet them. We're all, in every way that we can, we're just a good neighbor. We're just a good friend. We do all we can. You love them, but there's a difference between them. See? You don't want to hurt their feelings. You're just friends. You love them, but there's just a difference between them and this other person. Well, what it is, we create that atmosphere around us. Now, how do we do that? How can you create that atmosphere? It's that nature again. It's that life. It's Christ living in you. And if it's not in them, it can't make the same atmosphere that you're making. It can't do it. Because it has to be him. And if he's in there, then he's the one that's working. He's the one that's really doing it. And so you're just surrendering. You're surrendering to everything that you hear. You hear this word, you surrender. You read the word, you surrender. You pray, you feel that leading, you surrender. You listen to a message, you surrender. Everything, it's just God constantly taking over. And it's the word, it's the spirit, and it's in control. And you're okay with it. You're completely yielded to it. It's what you want. It's the nature that's in you. Now, I'm a conservationist of wildlife and so forth, and dealt with wildlife. My mother's half Cherokee Indian, and I just love the wild, so till I study God. My first study of God was through nature, watching what he did in nature and how he watches and what he does. And there's one of the greatest hindrances that there is in the church today, and right here in Prince Albert. He said Edmonton, but he meant Prince Albert. And among other people everywhere is fear. See? But love, perfect love, casteth out fear. The reason you're fearful is because the right temperance of love has never entered yet. Now, this is pretty strong. When there's real love, all fear passes away. When you really love the Lord. And so that's what we need. Now, Brother Branham, I'm not sure if we're going to read it here or not, but I read it earlier. When he was talking about that love a while ago, he said, and this is this, and people can read this and they can go away thinking, well, I love everybody. He's not talking about your filial love. He's talking about agape love. He's not talking about how you go around, you're sweet to everybody, you're nice to everybody, and everybody thinks you love them because you put on a show every time you're around them. No, that's not what he's talking about. That's all fine being nice to people. That's all fine. But there is an agape love. And there's an agape love goes beyond the filial love. Because the filial love just wants to make them smile, just wants to be good friends. But the agape love is concerned about their soul. So their agape love will bypass the filial love that doesn't want to hurt their feelings. The agape love will bypass the filial love and tell them where they're wrong and tell them where they need God and tell them what the truth is in this day and age that we're living in. That's what agape love will do when you really love God. See, paragraph 16. Now, I'm not condemning you. I'm only trying to bring something to light that you could look at. Because after all, these sick people sitting around here, sinners and so forth, the differences, what makes it all, I can't believe that God's pleased with it. So there must be some remedy. And if we can find that remedy, we ought to use that. So the thing of it is, it's a lack of love. Now he's rebuking these people, knowing, God knowing, that this is going to come right to us. It's going to come right down the line to us because these statements are only going to help the elect. It's only going to help the elect. And so we want to make sure that we're living up to this. It's a lack of love. No matter how many prophecies we have, how many great preachers we have, how much theology we have, how great of a church we belong to, if love doesn't temper that together, it's of none effect. That's right. Even in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, though I speak with tongue of men and angels and become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, though I have prophecy and knowledge and understand all the mysteries of God, you know, it would be easy for us to dismiss this scripture, but we can't. Because somehow or another, somewhere along the line, we got it in our mind, if we believe all the mysteries, we got it. And at least that's for me. I've had that in my mind for so many years, that if you believe it, and Brother Branham said, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is receiving the word. So we got something to base it on. We got something to base it on. But he's saying all of those gifts, all of those ministries, all of that other, all of it is not going to do any good without the life. Amen. And the life is love. And it's not filial love, it's agape love. It's real godly love. Amen. See? And have all, understand all the, he didn't say, he says understand all the mysteries of God, and have faith to move mountains, and have not love, I am become nothing. Nothing. So we people are more or less going after gifts instead of the giver. What about that? That's the problem. If we're going after a gift, any kind of emotion, any kind of gifts of the Spirit to be, you know, we all want to be humble. We all want to be loving and kind and gentle and passionate. All of those things. We want to be all of that. But all of that without the genuine life, the genuine love, it's not going to do any good. It's not going to do any good. We must come back to that place. You're wonderful people. But you must come back first. And the key that unlocks the door to everyone. We've left the key and rushed for the door. So when you get there and you find out the door don't open, it's because you don't have the key. You haven't got the key. Oh, I've often said this, that in my world travels, I found two different classes of people. And one of them is the fundamentals, see? And he says to come out of there. And I think I mentioned this the other day, or I was talking to somebody about it. But Brother Branham said he likened that to the Pentecostals and the rest of them. He said it's like somebody who has money in the bank and they don't know how to write a check. And he said the other group is they don't know how to write it. They don't have any money in the bank, but they know how to write a check. So they're both in a quandary. They have a problem. One's got money and don't know how to spend it. The other one knows how to spend it, but he don't got any. Amen. So it's got to come together. And that's the bride. Yes. God lets that come together. God lets those gifts. God lets all of those other things come together where the true, genuine love is. Where the true, genuine, we see that side, we see it, it's messed up. We see this other side, it's messed up. But we also see the genuine. We see the genuine, the elect, the bride of Christ that is filled with the Spirit, that is filled with the love of God. And then God, anytime God wants to manifest any kind of gift, God can do it. He can do it when and how he wants to do it. Now, what the church is lacking is divine love. I don't mean affectionate love. Yeah, this is what I was talking about a while ago. I don't mean affectionate love for one another. I mean agape love, the godly love. And have it so richly in your heart until you just love the Lord and everything. You just take his word for it and you don't mistrust him. Oh, we get that and it'll change our life. It'll change our life. It'll change our relationship with the people around us. It'll change everything. When he's not talking about the affectionate love. He's talking about the genuine love. The one that makes you want to bring people to the truth. Paragraph 5, testimony of Jesus Christ. This is in Chicago, and he's reading the scripture here. In St. John chapter 10 and verse 22. I thought we had read this recently, but maybe I had did it at home in devotion or something because I remember it. But I went back and checked the message, and I couldn't find where I had read it in one of the recent messages. So it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And I love how he puts the descriptions in there because everything means something. It's not, did he need to tell us it was winter? There's a reason he told us. See, everything. He didn't just say it's a feast. He said it was the feast of dedication. It means something. And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me. Now, these sheep that he had, these sheep that he knows, they were given to him from the Father. Now, because here's one of those places where he says, he gives them eternal life. But let's find out, where did he get them from? He got them from the Father. And who's the Father? The Father is the eternal Spirit. So he got these sheep from the Spirit. Amen. That's where they came from. That's where that eternal life was in the first place. Amen. So that eternal life come down and manifested in veils of flesh. Amen. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father or one. How about that? Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. All right. They'd do it today too. They'd do it today too. You know, the Jews are very straightforward. They're very matter of fact in what they believe. But, and I'm talking about Israel now, and I'm talking about this war, and I'm talking about they need our money. And they're very persuasive in what they believe and how they believe and all of that. And so they're very careful how they speak of Jesus, because this is supposed to be a Christian nation. So this is supposed to be, somehow related to them. And so I listened to Netanyahu and I listened to some of these others great Israeli leaders, but mainly Netanyahu, because he's the one. And naturally for them, that they're serving the one true God and the only truth that there is. And so this Jesus thing is just kind of a by the way. So when Netanyahu was his speech, you could tell he had these words prepared. And he says, he stops as he's speaking of Jesus, and he says, you know, he was just a Jewish rabbi. He was a Jewish rabbi. Jesus was. So I thought, that sounds pretty good to the nominal world. Oh, yeah, Jesus is he was a Jewish rabbi. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a Jewish rabbi. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. And they failed to recognize him. And now they're making him a little lower than what they think. And what they don't know is that he was the fullness of everything they had been looking for. He was the fullness of all that they had hoped for, all they were looking for, everything that God had been showing them that God was, of God's nature, of what God was bringing forth. Jesus Christ was all of it. And then, so they could not just throw him out with the dishwater and then knowing that the people here would have a hard time with it and want to reject him, they just make him a Jewish priest. No. It was much greater than that. It was much greater than that. He was the Son of God. And so are you, sons and daughters of God. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those do you stone me? Now, if I could just point out as we go by this scripture, if Jesus himself pointed to the Father in everything that he did, that he didn't do anything except the Father showed him, and all these good works were given to him by the Father, everything was the Father, then if you are a part of that, then it's going to come exactly the same way. Everything that you are, everything you're going to manifest, everything that you're going to express is going to be him doing it. It's going to be the Father that is doing it. It's going to be the Spirit that is manifesting. Whatever he wants in you to be manifested, that's where it's coming from. It's not going to be that you got this revelation. I'm a son of God. I'm a creator. I'm a God. And then you just go do your thing. No. It doesn't work like that. No, it's him. It's you realizing it's him in you manifesting what he is. See, for which of those good works do you stone me? The Jews answered him saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man, make yourself God. And Jesus answered them, is it not written in your laws? I said, ye are gods. I love that I said, because he's the one who declares it. He's the one who said that you're gods. He's the one who's saying now that you are creators in this last day, when God spoke through a man again in this last day. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I'm the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And therefore sought they again to take up stones, and he escaped out of their hands. Now, if this, he's saying here, can you not believe that this person, this body that God has sanctified, that God has anointed, that God has justified, that God has chosen to manifest the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the man Christ Jesus? Now in this day, what has he done? He has done it again. Now he has a many-membered body that he has sanctified and that he has justified and that he is filled with his Spirit that he's revealed his word to. And now he's saying, know you not that you are gods? Know you not that you are amateur creators? Brother Branham said you could create a world and go live on it. But he's also told us that right here, when this atmosphere, when this world is dying and falling apart, and it's satanic in every way, he said, you are that person that people love to be around because you have created that atmosphere in your life, in your actions, in your speaking, in your thoughts, in everything about you. You have created that holy atmosphere of the nature of God living in you. Everything's coming in subjection to it. It came into you, and now everything here is coming in subjection to that life that's living in you. May the Lord add his blessings to his word. God, in confirmation of his word, of the testimony of Jesus Christ, see, was declaring to the people that he was the Son of God. Once in talking to a man, he said, nowhere... this man told Brother Branham, he said, nowhere in the scripture did Jesus ever say that he was, plainly say that he was the Son of God. Brother Branham said, there are several places he said he was the Son of God. St. John chapter 4, he said he was the Son of God. And also he says here, he's the Son of God. And people who believed him and recognized him to be the Son of God because the signs of God followed his Son. And his Son has risen from the dead, living among us tonight. And the same Jesus that God vindicated that day, he vindicates in his church tonight with his believers. For Jesus said, a little while, and the world will see me no more. Yet ye will see me, for I, personal pronoun, I will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Amen. See? Not somebody else, but Jesus himself. Himself. He said, I came from the Father, I go to the Father. I came from Spirit, I go to Spirit. Now, I'm going to come again, and that same Spirit's going to be in you. It's going to be in you. He's risen from the dead, living in his church, and he said, the things that I do shall you also, and greater than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. Now the people couldn't understand how him being a man would go to the Father and yet be back in them. But he said, I came from God, I go to God. See? He came out of the Spirit, out of eternity, into time for the taking away of sin. Passed through time, went back into eternity, so it was God. Put your place in there now.
That's right.
Because you have a place in here. Amen. You have a place in here now. You drop down into time, and then he comes to that time, and he lets you recognize that you are a creature of eternity, Amen. That you are a part of him before the foundation of the world. See? So it was God. And he's with us, raised from the dead, and the things that he did in the days of his flesh, he's doing it tonight, and has been doing it since he rose from the dead. That's right. Why? Because his nature doesn't change. His nature doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when the disciples went forth, the Bible said they went forth preaching everywhere. And the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. And the Holy Spirit is the government of the church. To the world it's foolish, but to those who believe, it's salvation. Now what is government? And we know what it is in this life. We know it's the government is rules everything that you do. They want to control everything that you do. They want to take everything that you have. They want to hold their finger on you. They want complete control. This government is Christ himself. This government has complete control. Greater than this other government has. This government is the thing that makes you think what you think and do what you do.
That's right.
And live the life that you live. Because it's something inside. It's the very essence. It's the very nature of God living in you. And it controls you. It is a government. It's a government. It's the control tower. This is in testimony of paragraph 10. You see, if a man does not have the Holy Spirit, he cannot believe those things. Because when a man is born of the Spirit of God, he becomes a son of God, and his nature is likened unto God. That's the reason Jesus said, "Did not it say in your laws that ye are gods?" Because, why? Because you're an attribute of God. That's the reason why. Because you were eternal with him. You are from the same source as him. Everything that he is, that's what you are. And so it's the same thing manifesting in a many-membered body of the veils of flesh, what God had in his mind coming to expression, coming to manifestation. That's right. Praise be to his name. And then God himself, all things are possible. See, God made the very world that we're sitting on tonight. This world that we now are living on, the crust of it, is nothing in the world but one word of God made manifest. Huh? You can't get away from it, can you? You just can't get away from it. Remember what was talking about Jonah the other day? He said God was in the boat. God was in the storm. God was in this. God was in that. God was in it. And what did we read a while ago? No matter where you are, you're in the presence of God.
That's right.
You can't get out of it.
Amen.
You can't get out of it. Mm-mm. Not the elect. You can't. See? God spoke the world into existence. How many believes that? This is the word of God made manifest. This pulpit, this wood, just everything in here, everything that the eye sees was made manifest because God spoke it into existence. That's right. He's talking about the big picture now. Then if a man is born of the Spirit of God, he doesn't listen to reasons at all. God cannot be reasoned. God is believed. We don't know God by theology. We don't know God by education. We don't know God by reasons. We know God by faith. It's beyond reason. You cannot reason it, see? That's what makes it so real to us, believers. We look at the unseen, the things that we do not see, we look at that. That's right. What do we look at? The things we can't see. Well, that just makes you a crazy person right there. You don't look at what everybody can see. You look at what you can't see. But it just so happens that God equipped you to be able to see into that supernatural realm. That's right. And he said, he gave you eyes to see and ears to hear. And he wasn't talking about the natural. He was talking about the spiritual realm. That's how he gives you revelation. It's a spiritual thing. In the Message of Supersign, paragraph 139. And today, if that light of God, that Holy Spirit, ever strikes a predestinated seed whose name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, the Bible says that. That's right. The light will shine. You can preach to some and it seems like it's just water on a duck's back, fall off. See? But let it once strike that seed and watch what happens quickly. Praise God. Something is there right now. See? What does it happen? What does it do to the rest of them? It's just water off a duck's back. Yeah, yeah, quack, 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 quack. Yeah, it sounds good. That's wonderful. Yeah, 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 yeah. Goes right on. But you let it hit a predestinated seed, and the light is going to shine.
That's right.
The nature of God is going to come forth. And when that light, the gospel, strikes it, they get it. Amen. The rest of them will get up and walk away. It's not for them. The Bible said that men were foreordained to condemnation. You hear that? Foreordained to condemnation. I was thinking, I was reading, and I don't know if we'll get to it this morning, but I was reading there, Brother Branham was talking about when Jesus went along, and he's talking about the same thing. He's talking about you being God's, he's talking about you being a creator, and he's talking about, Jesus was healing, doing all the things that he was doing, and they're walking, going on their way to minister, and he passes by a fig tree, and I don't have any fruit on it, and he curses the tree. And it's always baffled me. Why would he curse the tree? Okay? It didn't have fruit on it, so he curses the tree. And the next day, the tree was withered. It was withering away in a 24-hour period. Now, you know when a tree's dying, it dies slowly. It goes slowly. But for it to overnight, if you took the life out of a green tree out here, overnight, it wouldn't be dried out the next day. Those green leaves would slowly dry. But this tree, it went overnight. It just accelerated it. And so God had a reason. He had a reason. And I haven't studied it all out, but I always wondered about it. And I've always thought about it. And I thought, he's the same God that can bless anything that he wants to bless. He can curse anything that he wants to curse. He can take a dead rod and he can make it bud and life come out of it. It can walk into the presence of God in the Shekinah glory in the temple in the Old Testament, and a dead stick can bud. And now here's a live tree that he could have made produce.
Yep, that's right, he could.
But he cursed it. Amen. And made it to wither away overnight.
Amen.
And then his disciples questioned him. They questioned him on how quickly it withered up. And what did he tell them? If you say to this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, it will be done. This example was for you.
That's right.
This example was for you, that whatever you say, amen, it will be done.
Amen.
So if you curse something, it's going to die, right?
That's right?
Then that takes my mind right back to the scripture that says the saints will judge the earth. The saints are judging the earth. The saints are speaking eternal life. The saints are speaking the word of God. They're speaking the presence of God to the people. They're alerting the people of the earth to the presence of God in this last days. And sometimes we just need it to be pointed out to us. Sometimes it's right before us and we don't know what it is. And somebody points it out. And then you see it. It's like the eunuch who said, how will I except some man shows me? And some man showed him, and then he got it like that.
Amen.
He's seen the power of God. He's seen the man caught away. He's seen the signs of God. He's seen it.
That's right.
And so will people today. But God has a mechanism. God is using the bride.
Amen.
To bring this revelation. To bring forth the nature of God. Praise God. The rest of them will get up and walk out. See, foreordained to condemnation, the book of Jude, all scriptures by inspiration. Now, when that light struck little Rebecca, she knew something within her. And that brought her to Isaac. Oh, it's going to take you to our Isaac. She veiled her face. She wanted no more to do with her own thinking. Isaac was her thinking from then on. This is the difference. You know how much humility it takes for a woman today to be in subjection to her husband. She has to have a revelation. She has to have a desire. She has to have the love of God, the life of God living in her.
That's right.
That would allow her to be able to humble herself to her husband.
Amen.
Because the spirit that's on the women of the world in this last days, They could never humble themselves. They could never humble themselves. No, if anything, it's just a running joke with the world that the woman's the boss. That's it. And some women around the message, they wouldn't say that out loud, but they do it daily. They do it daily, manipulate their husband. Not fulfill his desire, but manipulate him to fulfill their desire. That's what they do. It's there. It's out there. I'm sure you see it. See? And the church itself, when it strikes that power of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, out of the denominational churches, out of the Catholic Church, whatever it is, when that baptism of the Holy Ghost is made real to the people, them that's predestinated, like you people here, to eternal life, sees it and walks in it. What is it? A super sign. And the enemy possesses the gate of, and we possess the gate of the enemy. Amen. Praise be to God. That's right. That's that eternal life manifesting. Right. Now, I can show you where God put gifts and power in the church. And I want somebody to put your finger on a scripture and show me where he took it out. Where he took it back from the church. It's a super sign to the believer that we pass from death unto life. Because we feel the Holy Ghost and see it working in our lives, changing us from what we were to what we are now. Amen. He rose from the dead. Thanks be to God. That super sign, that life. Brother Branham talked about the sheaf wave offering. There had to be one that came to maturity first. Just like it is in your crop. You plant your maize. And then you walk out there and you peel back that chuck and you look at those ears and you can tell if it's mature or it's not mature. And if it's not mature, you close that chuck back up. You leave it right there. You don't go out there and check 10 more. No, there's no need. You know it's not ready. But one day you walk out there and you peel back that chuck and it's perfect. It's perfect. And you know the time is at hand. You know the harvest time is at hand, that this thing has now come to maturity. And there had to be one that come first and was waved over the people. They took that when they went out there and they found that mature, they took that and they waved it before the Lord, thanking God for what he had done for them. See, make the word super in the last days. He still lives in the seed of Abraham with a super sign. The sign that he promised Abraham, the super seed in the last days, would perceive the same sign and do the same thing. Because God had to kill Christ, Emmanuel, to raise him up again, to send the Holy Ghost, an eternal one that could not die. See, to live in the church, to produce that sign. Of all of our psychology, of all of our great teachers, of all of our theologians, there's not one living on the earth today that can produce it. It takes the Holy Ghost and Him alone. And brother, if we're going to walk in this revelation and we're going to not get sidetracked, we're not going to go off with an idea, our idea, or somebody's idea, the only way that's going to happen is if Christ is in you. And if Christ is not in you, either somebody's going to deceive you or you're going to deceive yourself. That's right. One or the other. Because it will take the life of Christ. It's the only way. That's the only thing. It's only that predestinated seed that cannot be lost, that cannot be plucked out of his hand. It can't be. God raised him from the dead, and he's here with us after 1,900 years alive, the super sign. That's right. The same sign that was at the tent door of Abraham. The same sign when he spoke to Sarah and said, why did she doubt? When God sent Noah to an intellectual age, a silly message to them, because it didn't meet with their condition of that day. But God sent Noah as a prophet, prophesying that the end was at hand. And then God let him live to see it happen. That's right. Now, paragraph 153. There is a super sign of the Holy Spirit, we know. We absolutely know that Christ still lives and reigns. He is the super one. That's right. And you talk about a Superman, the devil has something to counterfeit the very thing that God has made. Everything the devil has got, he made it off of something that's original. The devil cannot create. Now, you know that. If the devil is a creator, then we've got two creators. The devil cannot create. He perverts what has been created. You say, brother, why are you reading this one? Because there's not two creators. And if he's telling you that you are a creator, if he's telling you that you are God, then he's telling you that you're a part of him, that you are a part of him and not another, because there's not two. There's not two. And that's the thing that we have to hold to. We have to hold to the realization that everything that's being manifested is him. It's him. And it's eternal. And it don't have a beginning and it don't have an ending. See, look, what is an adultery? Adultery is the right act perverted. What's a lie? It's the truth perverted. What is sin? Unrighteousness. It's unright. It's righteousness perverted. Anything the devil has got is something perverted of what God originally made. And that's the reason that they would call Jesus Beelzebub. The old fortune teller telling devil out there was perverted, was a perverted spirit to a prophet, see? And that's the same thing today. They don't understand it. But if they would read the Bible said it was a super sign. He is the last sign. See? And remember, the super sign in Abraham's time was what? When God manifested himself in flesh and so showed this great manifestation of knowing what Sarah was saying in the tent. And this, brother, to me, this is worth holding on to. For the people who are confused or doubting, was Brother Branham the Elijah? Was he not the Elijah? Was he this? Was he that? Was he or wasn't he? This is the super sign.
That's right.
Nobody had the ability. Nobody did what he did. He turned his back to the people and he called them out one after another, after another, after another. He called them out. This was a super sign. There's no way this could be mistaken. There's no way this could not be this cannot be confused with Oral Roberts or Billy Graham or Benny Hinn or any of those other preachers that have been out there in the last 50 years or 100 years or any time in 2,000 years. You go all the way back, there's never been a ministry like this ministry. God so confirmed it because this was to be a super sign. And what a super sign it has been. What a time that has been. God manifested himself in flesh and showed this great manifestation of knowing, see, that what Sarah was saying in the tent, in her heart, didn't speak it out loud, but thought it in her heart. The last sign that Israel got before her rejection and called Jesus Beelzebub. What did they get in Jesus' day? He spoke to the woman at the well. He revealed the secrets that was in her heart. He revealed all of that. He did it over and over and over, and they called him Beelzebub. Jesus said that this generation would receive the same thing. That's the last. What is it? That was God with Abraham. That was God in Christ. God with Abraham, God in Christ, Emmanuel. And today, it's God in his church. The super sign that God still lives. Praise be to God. Do you believe it? Don't you never get away from it. Stay with it. It's the closing hours. It's the closing hours of the world's history. Amen. 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 Praise be to God. I think I'm going to stop right there. I had this next message is called Life. It was in 1957. And Brother Branham goes through many different people that were healed, and the supernatural, and the things that was being done. Some children that were humpbacked, and he talked about how that when they're humpbacked, it what it does to their arms, and they can't raise up their arms. And so there was a boy prayed for. I think they were both boys, and one of them was prayed for, and Brother Branham, without realizing what he was saying, he said, I want you to take, he said, if this doesn't happen in the next 3 days, I'm a false prophet. And say, so, you know, after he said it, then he's like, oh, where did that come from? And he said, I want you to take a string, and he said, I want you to tie it around your hump, and to your, said, have your mom do it. And he said, measure it. And he said, if there hasn't been a change in 3 days, he said, I'm a false prophet. And so he, that was to go down every day. It was going to be getting smaller, and he was going to check it with a string and know that it was happening. And so then there were some other people there that was healed. And so another little boy comes to who is humpbacked. And these, and most of these are at this place. This was in, actually, this was Jeffersonville. They were Roman Catholic. And so this little boy comes through. And so Brother Branham starts praying for this little boy. And he put his hand on the hump. And he, and he's praying for the little boy, and just travailing in prayer for him and asking God to do something like he did for the other one. And all of a sudden, he said, he just felt his hand moving. He felt the hump moving. It was going away. And so he finished praying, and he asked the little boy, he said, did you feel that? And the little boy said, yeah, I felt it. I felt it. And he went rejoicing. He had received it. Another little boy he was praying for, I don't remember what was wrong with him, but he's praying for him. And the little boy interrupts the prayer, and he said, will you put me down? And he said, I'm healed. And this just as a child now. This is a child telling him, said, would you put me down? I'm healed. And said he put him down, and he went rejoicing and thanking God. And then the last one there was a little girl. It reminded him of, and this was a German girl, and it reminded him of a German girl, I think, that was healed. She was blind, and she was healed. And now here was another one. And so he ends up also being healed. This girl is being healed. But I think I'm just going to go ahead and just read. Let's just drop, if you'll drop down with me to paragraph 64. I want to read 64 and 65. And maybe we'll stop right there. Peter said, why, you know, why look at the tree there. This is where he was talking about the tree. And Jesus said, have faith in God, for if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, but believe that what you say shall come to pass, you'll have what you say. I said, you get that? When you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for, and you shall have it. And I said, see, he's talking personally to us. He's talking personally to the bride. Remember, Brother Branham said, the reason the message is so misunderstood is because people fail to realize God's talking to two groups of people. Here he's talking, we, after receiving the Spirit of God. God made the whole world out of nothing. It's just his word. He just created his word, his creation. See, I'm sorry. He just created, period. His word is creation. So he just spoke it, and the world was created because it was the object in God's mind, in his heart. He just spoke it, and it came into existence. He was a creator. And I said then, if we have Zoe, God's life in us, we become sons of God, and amateur creators. I said, because he said, whatever you say, believe what you say, you shall have it. And I've noticed that. A lot of times, I would say things that I could hardly think for myself. but I'd say it anyhow. And I come to find out it did happen just that way. And I'd say things that I didn't hardly know, didn't mean for it to happen that way, but it did anyhow because I had said it. You listening? God vindicates the elect, the word of the elect. He vindicated Moses. Even when Moses was out of the will of God, even when Moses struck the rock again and said, I'll give you rebels water, and he smote it. Brother Adam said he was out of the will of God, but the rock brought water. Because God had said, I'm with you, and whatever you say, I'll do it. God had to vindicate that Son of God. And God will vindicate. He will vindicate his word in a son and a daughter of God. I thought, wait a minute. So I said, you see, when we speak anything, if something is anchored to us, we shouldn't never speak it till we believe it. Then when we believe it, we speak it. And that creative word goes out. It's part of God, see? And it creates. Amen. Praise be to God. That's where it is right there. It is God. It's part of God. And you're part of God. And God, that's the only way that the world will see God today is seeing him in you. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you to stand with us. Praise his name. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you and praise you. We ask that you would just bless each one this morning, Lord. We know that in this flesh we're weak and needy people, but Lord, in spirit and in revelation, Lord, we have the power to create worlds. Lord, we have all that we need. Lord, all that you have gave, all that was in Christ, you poured into the church, Lord. It's there. Just needing to be recognized, just needing to be believed, just needing to be accepted. And Lord, we thank you and praise you. Though we're not by any means wanting to go start some Pentecostal revival, not have some fleshly, emotional something, Lord. Lord, we just want one thing, is we want a body that's so yielded to you that you can do and say anything that you want, any time that you want. Lord, that we would be so yielded, Lord, that you could speak. Lord, that you could manifest whatever you want in this last days. Lord, bless your people, your bride around the world, of every nation, of every kindred, of every tongue. Bless them, Lord, as we commit them to you. As we thank you and praise you. Bless these words this morning to the hearts as it goes out. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. God bless you this morning. Be